Welcome to Okay, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Kendall Ford. I am a writer, storyteller, and absolutely love empowering people. I believe that our stories and experiences, no matter how much pain or heartbreak they may have once caused, hold incredible power. The power to bring freedom, the power to uplift others, and the power to live triumphantly. Sometimes people just need a listening ear and a safe space. This is that space. So, okay, let's talk. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode. I am, as always, super excited that you've decided to join me here today for part of your day. I'm really happy today because it's really chilly outside and cloudy, and it's finally feeling like fall, and that just has missed me really in my happy place. And so let's just go ahead and dig into today's episode as I sit here and I smell my harvest apple candle burning. It's just putting me in a really good place. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and jump into today's 5-minute soapbox. If this is your first time joining us, I added this new segment to the show last week, and because it's my show and I'm allowed to give myself another platform, I am starting each episode now with Kendall's 5-minute soapbox. And so today I would like to talk to you guys about the reason that people in Missouri are not going to wear masks. And so I'm going to set a timer because, like I said before, I may go under, but I promise not to take up too much of your time on my own personal soapbox. But today, and the timer's going, let's take 5 minutes to talk about, I figured out the reason why people in Missouri are not going to wear masks. So let me just tell you a little story. So a couple months ago, Cam and I, we were sitting at home. The local news was playing in the background. I think we were getting ready for the day. So we're kind of hustling, bustling in the kitchen, and we both kind of overheard this segment on the news, and it was celebrating the fact that people in Missouri were now starting to wear seatbelts, and they've seen kind of the statistics of how many people are wearing seatbelts go up. And I think the newscaster used the kind of phrasing, it was like, people are finally being persuaded to wear seatbelts. And it was in that moment, y'all, that I just had this huge epiphany. I was like, seatbelts have been around for a long time. Like, specifically, I looked it up. Seatbelts became mandatory in the United States in vehicles in 1968, that's when seatbelts became mandatory in the United States. And people in Missouri in 2001 are just now being like, oh yeah, we should probably wear a seatbelt. And the statistics that show that seatbelts help save people in car accidents and blah, 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 and all that, like, none of that data has apparently done anything in this state. And while I love these people that I'm meeting and creating a life with here, I had this huge epiphany, like, oh, well, that makes sense. This whole argument now makes sense. They're not gonna wear masks. Y'all, do what you want to do, get vaccinated, whatever. I'm not going to push either one. But for those of you that are my friends and you're listening and you live outside of Missouri or outside of the Midwest, I just want to, like, help y'all's stress level a little bit. And we might just need to let these people in Missouri just be. Because, y'all, they're not even wearing seatbelts. Like, a proven thing that is to help them and survive and help and be healthy. And so I began doing some research, right? And so seatbelt usage in Missouri is now, as of 2020, at 86.1%. 86.1%. Like, most other states, a lot of the other states are in the 90s percentile, blah, blah, blah. We're at 86.1%. But even more shockingly is that motorcyclists in the state of Missouri are not required by law to wear a helmet. Did y'all know that? So again, I'm not making this up. I looked it up. In 2020, Missouri law I can't think of the word right now, but there was a law requiring motorcyclists to wear a helmet. Basically, they recalled the law, I think, in 2020, and it allows licensed motorcyclists 26 and older to ride without helmets if they have proof of health insurance. a motorcycle. Like your vehicle doesn't have doors. It doesn't like have there's not much between your brain and the concrete on the ground. Like I would never ride a motorcycle probably. But they're not even wearing helmets. And so a lot of the argument that's being made around the country is like, it's for the public safety health, it's for your neighbors, wear a mask, get vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. And I believe in all those things. I do. But I just had this big, huge epiphany hearing and researching and doing all this recently that if these people are not wearing seatbelts and they're not wearing helmets on their motorcycles, y'all, you can't, you gotta, you either we gotta just leave these people alone and let natural selection happen, or we need to find another way to reach them, because the numbers and the statistics and the yeah, it's crazy. Like literally, NPR. So there was a statistical on NPR. It said across Missouri, new statistics support the outcome that this law recalling this law was gonna be bad. It says year to date, this was 2021. Motorcyclist fatalities statewide have increased by 40%. And then, according to the Missouri Department of Transportation, and compared to this time last year, helmetless deaths are up a whopping 800%. 800%. So, this is giving me a headache. So, like, we want people to wear masks and get vaccinated who aren't even wearing seatbelts and helmets, things that have been around for years that prove to keep them healthy. If they consider it a right to not wear a helmet, it's there. They say, I have health insurance. I have a right to not wear a helmet. I have health insurance. I have a right to not wear a seatbelt. Although I will say, I was at a networking event earlier this week and some people made a good, not, I don't even call it a good point. It was a point that a lot of people, you know, grow up in the country. They don't, oh, my timer's going off. Okay, let me have one more minute. Let me have one more minute. I'm gonna take one more minute. Okay, but they've said that a lot of people here grew up in the country. They used to ride like four wheelers and tractors and things like that, and things like that all have seat belts. And so they get in a car and they're like, oh, I don't need to wear a seatbelt here. But the statistics have proven that seatbelts save lives, and the statistics have proven that helmets save lives. And so when we're making the argument that wearing a mask and getting vaccinated will also save lives, it's an argument that is lost on my fellow lovely people in Missouri. Again, I love y'all, but it kind of makes me think about what I talked about last week, where sometimes you have to stop asking why and just say okay. And so I support people being able to make a choice with whatever they want to do with their body. It just really kind of put things into perspective for me. I was like, okay, I can't even convince some of my friends to wear a seatbelt or a helmet, so I'm just gonna leave them alone. You know, natural selection. Okay. I'm done. I love Missouri. Sometimes. Okay. So, moving on to our topic today. So, you know, okay, let's talk. I specifically love to talk about things that I feel like, why is no one talking about this? Like, I feel like this is a big thing that affects a lot of people and no one's talking about it. And so, today I want to talk about something that's very simple, but I feel like people don't talk about it, or no one is warning you as you grow older, and that is that no one is talking about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. Like, if you've known me a long time, you know I am all about my girlfriends. I have always been a girlfriend's girl. I love having a group of girlfriends. If I don't have a good group of friends in my life, I tend to be struggling a little bit more. But no one tells you about how hard it is to make friends as an adult. And so I know you guys have kind of heard a little bit about my story if you've been following the episodes, but my daughter and I, we've moved around a lot as a family. And so because of that, I have had to kind of remake friends everywhere I go. And so I've experienced this a lot where in different places it was a lot harder. In others, I say typically it tends to take at least a year before I have, would say I have at least one or two good friends. But one thing that's affected with me, because I have moved around a lot, is that I notice that with myself, I tend to go deeper with people faster because I don't always know how long I'm going to be somewhere. And because I have a huge value for relationship and friends and having people in my life. So once I meet someone and we connect, I'm kind of like, oh my gosh, okay, let's hang out. I don't really make people go through the whole like auditioning phase, like, oh, you know, be my acquaintance and then maybe we'll become a closer friend. And then, oh, you can be my best friend. I don't really qualify people. I mean, I do have friends that are closer than others, but I'm like, meet someone this week and like, oh my gosh, yes, let's look at coffee. If we click and we connect, let's do life together. However much they want or whatever. But even in having that mindset and being more transient, I've just noticed that it is hard to make friends. And then another aspect of that is that I've grown a lot too. And so like I joke with my friends at work that I try to be someone who's constantly growing. And so I hate to be figured out. Like, well, nothing bugs me more than someone approaches me and they act like they've already got me all figured out. Like they know what I'm gonna say, they know what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, sir or sis, like you know, I'm constantly evolving. The Kindle that is here this week is not the same Kindle that was here last week. I mean, I don't have like split personality disorder or anything, but like I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to have healing and find peace in my life and as I have new friendships and new things evolve about me, I'm constantly growing. And so even with that, it's been a little harder as an adult to make friends. And then just for a little honesty, I've talked about it before that I struggle with anxiety and depression. And so I have had seasons where that anxiety and depression has really been rough. One of those seasons was when my daughter was born. So I would say 2010 to about, to really like 2014, I would say. Those 4 years were super rough for me, especially after 2012, because I graduated from college and the friend group I had wasn't as close as we used to be. And then I was home and people's lives were moving. I was a single mom and it was rough. But in this whole making friends as an adult thing, I think it's important to point out the effects that mental health can play on that. And so for me, when I go through a really tough, a really dark and hard depressive episode, and my anxiety is pretty bad. Those, and I'm not just talking about like a bad day. I'm talking about like a really hard season. And so from age 20 to, I think I was, yeah, from age 20 to 24, I think I may have said the years wrong earlier. But yeah, from age 20 to 24, I would say that was like a really tough season. I was a new mom. There was a lot going on. I didn't really understand depression and anxiety a lot then. So it took me a few years to really put a label on it. So for me, I tend to isolate when I go through really tough seasons like that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's the best way to do it, but I know that that's how I tend to handle those seasons. And I know because I just recently I went through a really tough, depressive, like mental health season. And when I talk about that I'm healing and things like that, it's coming out of that season, that time in Ethiopia and all that. And so friend retention as an adult, especially when you struggle with mental health, can be really hard. Because what I found that through those seasons is like, I isolate, I pull back because I feel very raw and vulnerable and scared, to be honest. Not really sure. I'm still growing and handling my own mental health, and so my first inclination is always to isolate. And honestly, it can be hard to maintain friends. And not a lot of people will, if you step away from their lives for a big season, not a lot of people will be right there to welcome you with open arms once you come out of that season of depression or extreme anxiety. And so I recognize that too. That's been some of my struggle with making and retaining friends as I've gotten older. And but to be honest, like I'm still learning. And this is a I'm still learning as I go kind of process. And I apologize, y'all, if you hear my dog in the background. I'm gonna edit him out, so hopefully you don't. But for once, I let him sit next to me while I'm doing the podcast, and he's proving that he's not ready. Jimmy, say I'm not ready. Anyway, but yeah, so I found a really interesting article on Talkspace that talked about like why it's so hard for adults to make friends, and it says that It's hard to make friends as an adult because most of us are pretty set in our ways. We have our friends, our routines, and it's hard to deviate from them. Plus, we don't have the built-in opportunities we had as when we were younger and everyone was at similar life stages. So that makes sense to me. Like, especially for someone who's moved a lot, and I've seen it kind of even in different cultures, how people are pretty set in their ways, and people have their routines, you have friends, and so when you're an outsider or you've moved, it can be really hard to make those friends, or even if you, for whatever reason, don't find yourself with the same friend group that you had when you were younger, because maybe they've moved away, maybe you've outgrown them, maybe just things have happened, life moves on. That makes a lot of sense to me. And then Talkspace also says that, but we all know that friendships are important. Even research has equated friendship with happiness. It was a 2014 study that found that the frequency of socialization, can't talk today. The frequency of socialization, y'all don't judge me, is positively associated with life satisfaction. And so sometimes, like, so I don't know if I've talked about this, but recently I've fallen into the deep dark holes of TikTok. It's for work, but y'all, you can seriously get stuck on there for hours. and I noticed there's a lot of, there's that song that's sort of like, it sounds something like go best friend, and it says like no new friends, and I kind of cringe a little bit when I hear songs that are like no new friends, because I'm like, that just doesn't really promote growth, and it's not really healthy. Like to put your stake on this best friend and then to not allow them to grow. And anyway, I'm probably taking it a little too seriously, but that's what happens when you fall into the deep dark hole of TikTok. But yeah, I love what this study says about like how frequently you socialize. Is equated with how much you're satisfied with how much satisfaction you have with your life. And that totally makes sense to me, especially having moved a lot and having just the experiences I've had with friendships. Man, when I like get to grab lunch with a friend and go out and have a couple drinks or just be in another adult space that's not my daughter who I love, but another adult who I admire and want to do life with, to be in their space. It means a lot to me, and I do feel like a lot more satisfied as my friend. I feel a little more successful too. And so yeah, I really like that study. Some of the other articles I looked at talked about how social media can help that, but I'd like to say that social media, I feel like, can help were friendships, but I also think it can hurt us. And so the pandemic happened, right? And then we had to isolate because we couldn't be together physically, but we all turned to Zoom and to Facebook and to TikTok and Snapchat or whatever. But while it may have helped us in some ways, I also want to point out that it can also be pretty dangerous. Just because you can look at someone's news feed or their TikTok or their Instagram and see a snapshot of what's happening in their life, that doesn't really equate to a real friendship or a real relationship in real life. We can post whatever we want to post, but there's so much value with being in person. There's so much value in having a cup of coffee and sitting across from someone and really asking them, like, how's your life doing? Like, how are you? And saying like things like I love you in real life, like right across from them. And yeah, so just like it's not, we need to really be involved in one another's lives to really build real friendships. And so while if maybe you after this you go and you're like, man, yeah, I'd love to read some more about like how to make friends as an adult. A lot of articles talk about social media, and while it can help, I just want to kind of talk like give you that little caveat of how it can also hurt. I think in this post-pandemic, or I mean, I hate to say post-pandemic because we're still in a pandemic, but we need real life interaction. We need real life human interaction, not with a computer, not with one another on your news feed. Like, get out there, have coffee, grab lunch, go to a park, do whatever you're comfortable with in this season. But we need that human interaction, especially after the couple of years we've had. And so I wrote down a few thoughts I have on making friends. And again, it's not like I'm a professional or anything like that. But I've learned a lot, and a part of the show is knowing that things that I've learned are not just for myself, but also sharing them with my community. And you guys are all part of my community in this, even in this virtual way. And so here are a few thoughts I have about making friends. One is that if you have the opportunity to leave your hometown, do it. Do it. Like, run. It's hard. It will probably be one of the hardest things you've ever done. But leaving your hometown is one of the most beautifully challenging experiences you will ever have. The first time I lived outside of Baltimore was when I was in college and I went to Hungary. And that, while it didn't necessarily end the way I would have liked, spoiler alert, I came home pregnant with Cam. That's a whole nother episode, y'all. A whole nother episode. But that experience did teach me a lot about like making friends. It taught me a lot about myself. It was a huge learning experience, and I grew a lot from that. And then, I've lived in Ethiopia, and now I live in Missouri, and so I haven't lived in Baltimore for a while. And while Baltimore will always still be home, I love Baltimore. I just feel like I've grown and learned so much by leaving my hometown. You also learn how to be vulnerable and how to put yourself out there, because if you're going to leave your hometown and survive, and I should probably not just say hometown, like leave your state. Leave the state that you were born in and go live in a whole nother state. Because once you leave that state, there's a vulnerability that you have to have in order to survive, to be able to make those new friends and join that new community that's very hard for you to establish in your home state. And I think the fact that I've lived places that was, it's like I can't get to my family easily, it's been hard, but it's grown me. And I've had to learn to be a little more resourceful. I've had to learn how to ask help from friends that I've just met. It's been hard, but it's been really beautiful. And yeah, now I'm living 15, 16 hours away from Baltimore. I know my parents would love for me to be at least a day's drive away. I don't know. I love it. We can get there by plane in a day. And so there's that. I also like the other thing about leaving your home state, is that especially as an adult, you make friends with the person that you can make friends with the person that you are today, not who you were growing up. And so what I mean by that is the Kendall that I was back in high school, while I love her and she's a part of me, I have grown so beyond that. And so I have a special situation because I went to an all-girls high school. Actually, side note, I went to the oldest all-girls public school in America. Go Western Doves. Anyway, there's that. But because I went to Western, the relationships I built in high school, I was just explaining this to someone because I actually did a Zoom. I'm doing some business with one of my Western Dove sisters, and I was doing a Zoom with her, and we were talking about how hard it is to make friends as an adult and blah blah blah. And I mentioned that my sisters from Western, they're like, it's like a sisterhood. So while I wouldn't call, I don't think there's anyone that I went to high school with that I would call like my best friend. I don't really use that term anymore in my 30s, but there's a sisterhood there. So if someone who went I went to high school with as a Western Dove, she called me and she needed something, I'm like, well, how can I help you? When they start businesses, I'm counting my coins to try to figure out how can I support their business. How can I shout them out? And so that's a little different for me. But even still, the Kendall that I was in high school that those girls knew, that Kendall doesn't exist anymore. I've grown beyond that. And so it would be hard for me to imagine being in Baltimore and still trying to fit this version of myself into that small box of who I was back then. And so I look at people here in Springfield, even who have never left and are still friends with their high school friends. And while that's beautiful, they can still be your friends. There's a version of yourself that you've grown into that may have grown beyond them. And so by leaving and almost forcing yourself to into this new realm, you're allowing yourself to find friends with who you are right now and who you're going to be, because who knows what the next 30, 40 years of your life will bring. And then that's cool. And then maybe you move back. Like, maybe, I don't know if I'll always be in Missouri. I don't know if I'll ever move back to Maryland. Right now, I would say no, only because y'all housing prices are astronomically crazy and I ain't got it. But still, then I have these friends all over the world that I get to keep in touch with, that I get to visit. And so, yeah, leave your home state. Go. Run. Leave. Another thing is befriend that new person in your community or your workplace or your neighborhood. And so I talk about Baltimore a lot because that's where my heart is. But one thing about Baltimore, and especially because of the community that I found myself living in, because of my parents being government workers and a lot of the camps and things I went to, it was a transient community. And so I would go to school and my class looked totally different because 3 kids moved away, 10 kids moved away, 10 kids moved in. Like, it was just constantly changing. And because of that, I think I've learned a little bit better how to befriend that person who is new. But if you haven't grown up in that kind of transient community, maybe it's not, I think it's not something that people don't even think about. And so when I found myself moving to Springfield, because it is not transient at all, I think people just didn't think about, like, oh, she's new here. She doesn't have any friends or a support system or anything like that. And so just be, I think it comes from like living aware of your surroundings and the people that you get to rub elbows with. Just befriend that new neighbor. Approach them and don't wait to be approached. While I have learned a lot about approaching others and just starting that conversation off, it means a lot to me when someone does it to me. And someone's like, "Hey, I think you're awesome. Let's hang out." It kind of takes some of the pressure off me, and make the plans, and don't wait for them to make the plans. It just kind of like befriend them. And maybe you guys won't be best of, like, the best of friends. That's fine. I think one thing about making friends as an adult is that it's okay to have multi levels of friends. I have different friend groups that I hang out with for different reasons. And I do different things with different friends, because while I love the Black community here in Springfield, most of my Black friends here are not going to be going hiking. They're just not. A lot of my white friends will, and so those groups kind of won't mix, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So another thing I found, that so recently, not only have I started this podcast, but I've also started my own business. And so I've always been a writer and storyteller, but I now contract myself out to small businesses and nonprofits, and I help them with their online marketing through the eye of storytelling. So basically, I help them humanize their businesses so as empowered consumers want to shop with them, they understand why they should put their money into this business, because it's supporting so much more than someone's pockets, but it's supporting a goal or a mission or whatever. And that's really big for in the coming years. Our economy is going to become more and more empowered consumers. And while I know that Amazon is amazing and we can get our stuff real fast, I refuse to give Jeff Bezos any more money so that he can send penis-shaped spaceships into the atmosphere. Just do with that what you will. But it super frustrates me. Actually, I should make a note about that and do a 5-minute soapbox about that in the next few weeks. I just made a note about that. So tune in for that. But anyway, so many small businesses out there, so many nonprofits that you can be volunteering with, donating to, or just supporting in lots of different ways. That's what my business is about. Anyway, I found that as I started this business, and I'm finally working in an area that I am super passionate about, something that really sets my full soul on fire, I found that networking is a lot more enjoyable. I used to hate networking, like loathe it entirely. And a lot of it was because it felt really superficial, and I'm super relational, and so I don't just want to like collect business cards and like just see what I can get from people. I want to have genuine, real relationships with people and people that I collaborate with and do business with. And so, but as I found that as I'm doing something that has I'm super passionate about something that sets my soul on fire, it has made those networking events so much more pleasurable. And not only that, I have met some amazing people doing amazing things who I've like immediately met and was like, oh my gosh, we are one. We need to hang out. We need to, yeah, like, and so I've met some really amazing friends that way as well. And so I'd say search out networking events that fit your niche, whatever it is that you do. There's networking events for all types of things. Just go. Actually, this morning, every Wednesday morning, I go to an entrepreneurial networking event here in Springfield just for an hour. And it is, and I go to represent my full-time job, but also my personal business. And it is one of the most empowering hours of my week. And I've been a couple times now, and I love it. And I feel like it's genuine networking with other entrepreneurs, just to support one another. And so, yeah, I've made great friends that way. Another thing, pretty obvious, a lot of other articles talk about this, but find a hobby that's just for you. And then find other people who like to do that and then hang out with them. For me, right now, the hobby is CrossFit. I love CrossFit. One of the reasons I started doing it is because I was really struggling with depression. And I literally walked into my gym and I was like, the gym I now attend, I walked in and was like, I'm just gonna be brutally honest. I was like, I'm really struggling with depression. If I don't find any friends or community, it could not end well for me. And so they were like, oh no, we can't have that. Come in and let us love you. And that's basically what happened. And now some of my closest friends go there. I have people who look out for me there. They look out for my daughter. So yeah, find a hobby that's for you that makes you feel alive, and then find other people who do that too, because you would be surprised. People do anything and everything nowadays. So do that. But yeah, as I close, I just want to encourage you guys that we aren't created to be alone. So if you're playing that song, No New Friends, I would advise you to maybe find a new song that you love because you need new friends. You need new friends that will push you to grow. You need new friends that will do life with you. We're after COVID and everything shut down and we were isolated. It's time to be together. And if you're listening to this and you're 30 and over or whatever, know that there's hope. There's hope for you to find friends as an adult. You aren't floating out there on an island as your own, on your own. And there's hope for you to find new friends. Friends aren't just for kids. Friends aren't just for single people. Friends are for everyone, even my married friends. As much as I know you love your spouse, man, you gotta have some relationships outside of that relationship, to really fill out and enjoy your whole life. Love your spouse, but know that they can't be your everything. Sometimes you need to have girlfriends. Sometimes you need to have guy friends. So go out and have those friends. As I often close the podcast with like just a note to encourage you guys and remind you guys to love each other deeply and genuinely. And as you do that, just we guys want to remind you that we all need people. We all need people. None of us were created to just walk alone. It's incredibly lonely. Who's gonna pick you up if you fall down? Who's gonna make you laugh? Who's gonna have your back? Who are you gonna go on adventures with? Who are you gonna laugh with? Who are you gonna socialize with? So yeah, go out there, love each other deeply, love each other genuinely, and let's go make some new friends, y'all, 'cause it is hard as an adult, but it is not impossible. Okay? All right, until next week, yeah, love each other deeply, and we'll talk again soon. Okay, bye. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Okay, Let's Talk. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date on our latest episodes. You can also check the episode notes for ways to get in touch with me and for more info on the show. Until next time. Own your story and live empowered. Bye.